This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And welcome to the
welcome
second Tuesday of September.
Oh, it's a Met Gala joke. Okay. It is weird. It's like the Met Gala is always like the first Monday in May. And now it's like, here we are. It was still a Monday.
I don't know why. I get the whole postponed thing, but I don't get why they just didn't wait for May.
Well, because like, they
just feel so bizarre to me.
Because they still want to have a 2021 Met Gala because it's like their fundraiser and they didn't get to do it last year. And they're doing a special two-part exhibit, and this is the first one, and then in May they're going to do the second part, and it's going to be in those like furniture galleries at the Met. I don't know if you've been back there in like the period furniture rooms. They're going to put the dresses like in the rooms.
Oh, I went to the last exhibit.
It's just one.
So nice to sit. Yeah, like to it's so cool because I feel like people forget that it's actually like an event, and like Anna Wintour's raised, they said, let's say over $175 million for the costume.
Oh yeah. I mean, like,
I think,
cause the tickets are like $35,000. And so most of the celebrities that are there aren't, they're being like invited by brands and, you know, companies and stuff. So it's like, it is, they do raise a ton of money. But I was disappointed to see, you know, no Bravo Lebs on the carpet.
Like, yeah, what's
I feel
up
like,
with that?
I feel like if we can get like the D'Amelios and, you know, all of those kids on the red carpet, like we should be able to get like Garcelle an invite. To me, like, I don't know. Like, I get why they're not inviting like, you know, Ramona and Luann to the Met Gala, but like we could do somebody. A Candy Burris, you know, like
no reason why Andy Cohen is not on that red carpet.
That's true. I mean, this year was a little weird. Like a lot of people, I feel like were busy filming or were like out of town and didn't travel for it. Like Sarah Jessica Parker, who, you know, could bring Andy as her date or something. She wasn't there.
Celine Dion.
Yeah. A lot. Like Zendaya wasn't there. It was definitely like, I feel like it was a little bit of a different crowd than usual, but also maybe just like less people, but there were still a lot of people there.
Yeah. I think about this every year when I watch, when do they start? Do they start like the morning after making the list for next year? Cause they have your A-listers, and then they have the people that are popular at that moment. So like, do they, when something happens in the news, are they like, oh, is Anna like put her on? Like, and then when we get to the final like list, like, let's see if she's still around.
Yeah. I was wondering that too. Cause like the two like teenage girls who were in the US Open final this year, like this past weekend, they were both there, Layla and Emma. And I'm like, they obviously weren't on the list like a month ago.
It's like a B-list for a wedding, and it's like if you get no's, we're like, well, we still have some room, so come on, you can come,
right? Like, is there somebody, like, is there some designer that is just told like, make a stretchy dress that could fit anyone, and we'll tell you 48 hours before like who is going to be wearing it, and they just wait for like whoever is like trending the most that weekend? I don't know how that works, but I feel like then they should have probably given the invite to like Jen Shah or somebody, because I'm sure she was trending a lot.
No. Okay. Well, oh my God, imagine, I can't even just spit out that name. Jeez.
If Jen's like asking the judge, she's like, okay, so I'm coming to New York for a lawyer appointment. Wink, wink.
I got invited to this party. What I really want to see it's like, we obviously, you don't see what goes on in the inside. We just, everyone just watches the red carpet. It's like the biggest fashion event. And, but I want to see, everyone's more interested to see what goes on at the after parties. All I saw, the only clip from an after party that I saw was Doja Cat and Teyana Taylor dancing, having a dance off.
It was fun. That's it. It was funny to me, like some of the celebrities who went to the after parties, but not the actual Met Gala. Like, I don't think I saw Doja on the red carpet. Like, MGK had a concert, so he just met up with Megan Fox like after, which is like so funny. But yeah, I mean, I thought most people looked good. There were a lot of kind of like basic outfits, but there weren't a lot of looks that I like hated.
I agree. It wasn't hated, but I was disappointed because the Met Gala is a theme every year, but you're also, people are waiting to see what you're wearing because it's like two ends of the spectrum. Like, you can go crazy or there are people that show up in simple, but this one was like, there were too many simples. And I wish that, but I do have to say, a follow-up with that is the simple ones had explanations, if that makes sense.
Some of them.
Like Lily Reinhardt's dress was gorgeous. And each of those flowers represented each of the states in the United States.
I didn't really like the dress itself. Like, it wasn't for me, but I appreciated the thought behind it. I will say, I feel like if you were going to go with a basic or kind of like normal dress last night, it should have been an American designer. Because there were some people where it's like, okay, you're wearing like a boring, pretty dress by Prada. And it's like,
are you talking about Gigi Hadid?
No, I'm not talking about, literally, I feel like that applied to a lot of people. Prada, a lot of Valentino, which is fine. But like, watching them like interview people and be like, so how does this tie into the theme? And they're like, well, you know, like classic glamour, craftsmanship. And it's like, Just say it doesn't.
Right. Like Karlie Kloss, her dress was supposed to be a rose, which is the flower of like our country, which I think a lot of people learned that last night or right now. Yeah. So like that was cool. But like, or like Taylor Hill was like, and Amanda Gorman, both like the Statue of Liberty, like that was really cool. And they looked gorgeous. But other people, I was like, huh?
And American design, you know, Amanda was wearing Vera Wang, you know, like it. I feel like any American designer was kind of like fair game last night. Yeah, she's so beautiful. Okay. Which Bravo celebrities do you think should have been invited? Or like, would you have liked to see what they would have worn?
Okay. So I went ahead and made an actual list because I thought about this.
We're going to talk about Potomac and Below Deck, Mike, I promise. We're just, we have to get it out first.
So I obviously mentioned Andy because like, duh.
Yeah.
Like the face
I would. I feel like he would wear something boring though, which makes me sad. He would wear a black
tux.
But
he just needs to be the face.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I know. Enough of the black tuxes. I know. But we need to see some, but too many. All right. So this is my list. This is my table. Dorit, because I mean, like, let's be real.
She's an obvious answer just because, you know, she would turn out a lot.
She'd have fun.
Yeah,
exactly. And she would actually be the non-boring one. Paige DeSorbo, because she would bring it. Frederick, because he's just such a tall glass of water. I know. Cynthia, model.
Gorge,
would bring it. Reza. So I think he would bring something fun / boring, but accessorize.
I feel like
depending on what the theme is,
I feel like Reza would wear like a Fendi shirt and then like shorts. He would wear like his reunion look.
Yes. Stassi, because I feel like Stassi would understand the assignment. Garcelle is also on my list because Garcelle is just, I'm envisioning even what she wore to her Haitian dinner. And I'm like, hello. She belongs on the Met Gala red carpet. And I end the night with Tinsley.
Tinsley, a New York institution.
I mean, she belongs at the Met.
Yeah, I think definitely Garcelle. I think she's one of those people where like she belongs in that, you know, she would have lots of friends there. She would fit right in. And I would love to see, I think she has great style on the show for the most part, but I would love to see her in like a legitimate like couture look because I think she would look fucking stunning.
You know who I wouldn't want to see in a couture?
go.
Sutton.
See, I think Sutton is the kind of person where, like, I don't think she needs to be invited to the Met Gala on, like, a fame level, but I feel like I could actually see some designer, like, giving her a seat at their table, probably because she's shopped with them so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be fun to see, like, Padma Lakshmi at the Met Gala. I feel like that could happen. She's, like, very politically active. She's, like, you know, tall, beautiful, also has a modeling background. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see, like, a Richard Sisters moment at the Met Gala. Maybe
I thought about it.
None of them were there last night, like, not even Paris or Nikki. But, like, even if we did, like, a Paris and Kathy moment on the red carpet, that could be really fun.
Someone actually DM me last night when I was posting about it, when I posted J-Lo, and someone was like, Kyle Richards could never.
You know, somebody posted Casey Musgraves' outfit and was like, I love Lisa Barlow.
Oh my God. Honestly, she was one of my worst dressed for me.
It was very boring.
It was boring.
It was boring. And she's done better in the past. She did better at the VMAs on Sunday. But yeah, I don't know if there are any others that I'm, like, dying for. Oh, I think Bali from Family Karma would, like, turn a look. I think that would be really fun. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Maybe Giselle. I would love to see Giselle, like,
oh, that could be fun.
I would love to see Giselle just, like, have someone else dress her for something. Because I think there's no way it wouldn't be an improvement.
I completely agree. And then, of course, goes without saying, you and I with the mics in our hand, and we would say,
yeah, I will
what
say,
are you most excited to be here for?
This is, like, not to be rude, I think I would have done a better job than Alana Glazer on the Vogue stream. It wasn't her ideal gig, I don't think.
I was beyond disappointed with the E! News.
Oh, I heard it was bad.
Well.
I heard it was bad.
I'm speechless. It was one of the worst broadcasts I've ever seen.
Going back to award season this year, when they had Karamo doing, like, the Oscars, the Grammys, whatever. Karamo's not good at that job.
And listen, he's a really talented person.
Yes.
But he got, and I get it's nerve-wracking. Like, we do some things that are nerve-wracking too, but, like, he got every single detail wrong, like, every person he was talking about.
I didn't watch E! At all last night, but I heard that he said Timothy Chalamet multiple times, which is just...
Yes, he did.
It's just unforgivable. I'm sorry.
He asked who certain people were. He didn't know what they were wearing. He got their details. It was too many mistakes. It was, like, kind of weird, but... I don't know. I didn't know what was going
Meanwhile,
on.
Meanwhile, our girl Nina Parker holding it down.
Yes, Nina Parker. But then she left because she left, like, halfway through, and they kept bringing in replacements because I think she was going to an after party or going to host something else, but she looked amazing. Funny thing, under her feet, she had a little box, like, under her feet, yeah, like, as a, like, a little foot rest, I guess. But it was funny because we could see it, but no one else had one. So I was just, like, laughing.
You know,
but
on the Vogue stream, it was Alana Glazer and Kiki Palmer. And they were, like, they weren't standing together. They were, like, at different areas of the carpet. Alana had to leave for, like, an hour because she had to go breast pump because she just had a baby.
Aww.
She looked great, by the way. But it was so funny because they didn't say where she was going. And for, like, an hour, it's just Kiki, like, talking to, like, person after person after person. And thankfully, Kiki Palmer is the kind of person who can just talk and talk and talk. Kiki Palmer would be a great Bravo celebrity. I don't know what show she would be on, but I feel like her personality would, if she was, like, in the Atlanta cast or something, I would live for that.
She's funny because I saw when she was interviewing Pete Davidson, she's like, you're quirky like me. Like, she was bringing herself in the interviews. Like, she wanted to be on the other side of that carpet.
That's why it's kind of fun. I mean, because they kept talking about how they were going to the event after and all of this, but it's fun to have, like, celebrities doing the interviews because they're so much more conversational.
Right.
Like, it's not like, you know, it's more of, like, a back and forth versus, like, hello, E! Correspondent. I guess I'm supposed to talk to you now.
Yeah. But listen, everyone's doing their best.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
So speaking of people looking great on the red carpet, all of that, let's talk about Potomac. We pick up at Robin's little birthday get together. And Candace, of course, has just said that Ashley is wide bodied like six times in a row. And so Candace, as much as I want to give her a little bit of credit for apologizing right away, it is one of the worst apologies we have ever heard. And she tries, I feel like she's like gaslighting everybody sitting at that table by saying that she wasn't body shaming Ashley and that she just said wide bodied, which is objectively body shamey, but that it that wasn't her intent. And it's like, what are you talking about?
It wasn't even a foot and mouth like moment. It was you saying you didn't say something that we all heard you say because it was on camera. And it doesn't matter if you meant it, what you said was still body shaming. So I don't know what other way you could have meant it, because like you were talking about her body, but then she was even like, I talk about your forehead all the time. And I was like, wait, so you're still like,
right, like that's not nice either. Yeah. She's like,
okay.
It's like, it's funny. It's like, okay. So like, if you say something about somebody's body and the intent is for it to feel negative to them, even if that's not really like why you're insulting them, it still is body shame. Like, it's just so for Candace to be like, oh, I'm like, I'm sorry if I, it's like, just at that point, just don't apologize. And it's clear from all the way at the end of the episode at the goddess party, when they're like forced to try and compliment each other.
Ugh.
Candace and Ashley, they just don't like each other. And at this point, they're not even really fighting about anything specific. Like, they're their dislike for each other is so ingrained at this point that it's like, just leave each other alone. Like, just take a step back and like, talk to somebody else. Like, it's not worth it.
I agree, considering they're also on the complete opposite ends of the table. So there's not even a reason for them to talk. They're leaning over people, like looking to yell and argue. It was just move on. Like, it's not even fun to even watch the arguments anymore, because it actually reminded me last night. It was so juvenile, like the arguments right. and what they were saying back and forth, that it like, it wasn't fun to watch, because it was like, all right, now you're just.
I think, yeah, like that dynamic is one thing. And then also I think with Karen and Chazelle, I do feel like this cast, like they need to kind of like hit the refresh button a little bit, because I think, like I was just saying, Ashley and Candace, like their stuff is so, they just don't like each other now. And I feel like Karen and Chazelle are getting to the place where they're also just kind of talking in circles about the same. Like, I just don't, when Karen keeps bringing up Chazelle's comment about Ray, it's like, the horse is dead. Like, leave it alone. It's stop. Like, you beat the horse a million times. This is a 4-year-old thing. Like, I think Karen has like convinced herself that Chazelle did say this, but at the same time, it's like, I can't find it within myself to care, because I'm like, that's not even what happened. Even if it was 4 years ago. Chazelle has like apologized other times. Like, you gotta move on.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because when Mia gave Chazelle a message that Karen wants an apology, but then they talked about it after, and Chazelle said, like, Karen and Ray will both be dead before you get an apology. I was like, hold on.
They're like, wait,
not even finished fighting about the original time you said that. Now you're saying it again and bringing Karen into it. Like, Chazelle.
Right. It's like, just at that point, Chazelle is like so over it that she finds herself back in the original place, which I understand why she's frustrated. And I do think like, Karen's comments about Jamal to me are much more hurtful toward mm-hmm. Chazelle and her daughters, where like when Karen claims that her kids were really upset by what Chazelle said, it's like, I don't think that's true. Like, I don't think they actually care or remember, or
it didn't affect them the same way.
Right. Whereas like Karen said some really nasty stuff about their parents' relationship with each other, and whether or not the girls really wanted their parents to be back together, it's still not like fun to hear somebody drag your dad through the mud or throw accusations mm-hmm. or insult your mom because of her, how she's dealt with that situation. So I think like for Chazelle to finally be able to express that and to actually, because I think that was kind of the moment that made things thaw a little bit with Karen, was that Chazelle had never really acknowledged before that it was hurtful, not just to her, but to her kids. And I think once Karen really heard that coming straight from Chazelle, it was harder for her to just be like, I don't give a fuck, who cares? Because she's like, I don't actually want to like hurt your children. I just like think you're kind of shady, which is fine. But like, I liked seeing even just a little bit of movement between them, because I think it is going to benefit the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like a centimeter, but listen, it got us somewhere, but.
Well, and I think, so like Chazelle and Wendy, they still have a very like active conflict between them. And I think now that Karen has kind of like chilled out with Chazelle a little bit, I think we're going to be able to deal with the stuff with Wendy more. And if Karen wants to get like mad at Chazelle about that, at least it'll be something different. It'll be some like a little bit of a new dynamic.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about Miss Karen Huger filming her
Surrey County
tourism video in Potomac, but she was asked even why it wasn't in Surrey County. And she said, because it doesn't matter where I am. Anywhere I go, Surrey County is within me. And it was like,
yeah,
every image, I was laughing because, of course, editors are doing a great job at the little tagline underneath. It said, not Surrey County. Like, it's
yeah, it was a little unclear. It's like, okay, is this like a test shoot for the real ad that's going to be in Surrey County? Like, why are we going down a playground slide? Like, I
feel like we have Farmer Joe's. We got ham.
Everybody likes the Surrey County ham and the peanuts. I like that Karen is explaining to us that peanuts actually come in a shell.
Yeah, apparently not everyone knew that.
I like in my life, I have eaten a peanut that way. You know, like I've been to a baseball game been to a Five Guys where they have the little thing at the front. You get the peanuts while you wait. Very delicious. You know,
Texas Roadhouse as well.
Oh, okay. Even mm-hmm. like the those little the candy, the like foam peanut candy.
Yes.
That is very reminiscent of the shell. I feel like it's not necessarily a secret that peanuts come in that form, but I love that Karen is educating the people regardless.
How about Mr. Peanut? Like the mascot of fucking peanut.
Oh my God.
Is a shell.
The Planters Peanut Man. Yes. I feel like that it. Okay. Who do you think is more famous? The Planters Peanut Man or Karen Huger?
Oh, it depends. Because in Surrey County, it's definitely Karen Huger because. In Surrey County, it might be the peanut. Actually, I just realized
it might be the peanut everywhere. I hate to say it.
Oh my God. You want Dylan, you know, it's so funny that you just said Five Guys.
What?
My family was talking about that the other day. So freaking random. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And they were like, there's peanuts. And I don't know. I can't remember exactly why we were talking about this or how it came up or why, what was happening, but I didn't know that Five Guys had peanuts. So this is now the second time within like a week and a half that this was just brought up to me, which is, I love when things like that happen.
Your mom actually called me and asked.
She asked you.
No, but I haven't been to Five Guys in a while, but the peanuts are a nice little.
God. And every time extra. We talk about anything on this podcast, you know, we end up like getting some form of it at the end of the day.
No, I'm not going to eat Five Guys today. I had pizza earlier. Okay. So we have this Surrey County commercial. Lovely. We also have Candace and Chris sitting down to chit chat again, fresh off them having an argument, and they have kind of another argument because Chris brings up again that he won't be at this music video shoot. And, you know, cause they have with COVID, they're only allowed to have a certain amount of people on set. And Candace is trying to figure out how many extras they can have.
In the state of Maryland, I did find this out. I learned in the state of Maryland, she said you can only have 30 extras or backup dance or something. I didn't know that was a rule.
I think because of COVID, you could only have 30 total people on the set. So Chris was like, if I'm not there, that means you can have one more extra.
Okay.
I feel like something isn't clicking with me about this Candace and Chris husbander storyline. At the beginning of the season, the way Candace was presenting it, it sounded like they had it all like kind of figured out already. And now I'm kind of like wondering, I'm like, did they kind of like just start doing this like when they started filming and they never really like actually had an arrangement? Like, it just seems weird that they're arguing over such like simple things as like, do you need to be there for my video shoot?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you can't sign on to do something unless you put like 100% of your time and effort into it. And that's where I agree. I think they weren't on the same page where that is what he was doing is just making sure, you know, all the loose ends are together. Mm-hmm. But in her mind, it was, he's like waking up in the morning and making her schedule and making sure everything's like done. But that's not what it seems to be, which is a problem because that's where the things are falling through the cracks. And it's nice because we see them argue again, but they kind of move past it. They like explain to each other what the other is feeling. However, next week looks
at the, I'm a little scared.
Really bad.
I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I don't want to watch.
We
Me
see
too.
Chris, you know, running up on in his apron. I'm like,
oh, he's still wearing an apron.
What's happening? I'm nervous. But yeah, no, they.
And you see Candace go, oh shit.
Oh, Candace. Her album comes out like next week. It's very soon.
Really?
Yeah, we'll have to do we can do like a
listening
track,
party.
A track by track review. I don't know. I'm happy for her.
Do we know though in real time, because like her album is being released and I'm assuming like, you know, not maybe not with COVID, but she's having like some sort of party or whatever. Like, is he still signed on to doing this like for her? Does she now have like a manager?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's like actively still husbanding, but
not know. Everyone can be Kris Jenner. Okay.
It's a like, little, everyone it's a little awkward when Candace is like, I realize that I haven't been the best as a wife or as a client. And I'm like, oh God, like that's so cringe to be like talking about that. You haven't been a good client for your husband. I'm like, can we not? Like, it's just like a little bit strange. And I feel like long-term, they will probably be better off if they move away from this, this husbandger relationship, but we'll see. I did like seeing Robin speaking with the life coach. It seems like she's mm-hmm. really unpacking some things that need to be talked about. You know, she gets into, what happened with the friend who kind of like took advantage of them and, you know, stole a lot of their money, and that she has trust issues because of that. And also that she feels like she was really there and supportive of Juan when he was struggling with his, you know, job stuff and all of that. And so she feels like he kind of owes her that support now versus like, you know, being hard on her and kind of putting her down when she already is down. She wants to be, you know, lifted up and supported. And I think it's good to hear her express that, because I think it can be hard to kind of say what you need in a situation like that. And I think Robin is starting to figure out kind of what she needs and vocalizing that.
Yeah. And listen, therapy or talking to people is not for everyone, but I feel like in Robin's situation, you can even see like it's helping her and it's exactly the outlet she needed. And sometimes like as watching the show, some of these housewives think that the show is actually the outlet that they need, but it's not. Like, you actually need to talk to someone instead of just being on a different camera. So I'm glad. I hope everything for Robin is, it looks to me like everything's going well for them so far. I mean, in the last like few episodes, I think I even said that a few weeks ago, but I really also enjoyed seeing Wendy's kids. I believe it was Carter. Yeah. Like, he just wants to make the world a better place. She's so proud of him.
Yeah. Seeing Eddie have that talk with the boys about, you know, having to be really aware of dealing with the police and things like that. I mean, that kind of stuff always just gets to me. And those boys are pretty young, and watching them kind of, you know, grapple with the understanding of what they're saying mm-hmm. and why the world is like that, because, you know, they still have that innocence where it doesn't make sense because it shouldn't be that way. That's not something,
right.
You know, it's not like, oh, I'm learning about something that makes sense because it's good and that's the way it should be. It's like a really harsh reality. And it seems like Wendy and Eddie are doing a really good job of kind of handling that with their kids. But yeah, like seeing that little boy be like, he's like gonna fix it. It just is. Oh, it's like,
I know.
It's like, it's heartwarming, but it's also like heartbreaking because you know that he is growing up in this climate where he is going to have to deal with it. And that's, you know, he shouldn't have to. And so it's like,
right.
So sad.
Kids need to be kids, and kids need to not worry at their age about being the ones that are changing the world. And unfortunately that is the reality. But even Eddie said like to them, just treat everyone as human beings, you know? And I agree with Wendy where she wants her kids to learn everything they know within the four walls of their own home. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually a great thing for parents to do, because you don't know what goes on outside and it's like really scary, and you don't want people teaching your own children things that they shouldn't, but let's hope these kids change the world.
Yeah. And it's thinking about just within the group, now we have basically Ashley, Mia, everybody wants Giselle and Karen to like figure their shit out. And so it's like we have Ashley meeting with Karen to basically like beg her to figure something out with Giselle. And then Mia throwing this goddess party with the whole intention that she's going to get them back on the same page. I'm like, honestly, it's they're putting in a lot of effort. And I would say, like, don't waste your time. But I got to hand it to Mia. Something about that goddess party. Everybody seems to be in a mood of love and light. And
got it. Goddess. Goddess. First of all, they all looked gorgeous.
Everybody did look really great at this party. I loved seeing Ascala's look, Wendy's look. Everybody looks beautiful.
Candace's dress I've actually seen before, but I liked the way like she accessorized and wore it. And I think that them being in a gazebo, like in the middle of the woods or something, maybe also affected the moods. I don't really know. Or quite possibly the fact they just don't want to deal with it anymore. And it is kind of annoying to feel pressure from everyone constantly being for them wanting you to be friends. Like I imagine that gets a little annoying for two grown women to not take their own time to do this and work out their problems. But we did hear apologies at the beginning. They weren't that genuine. I think it was a step higher than like a typical housewife apology. It kind of like moved them along a little bit.
Yeah. I think they have genuineness behind them, but they're like they're small apologies. Like we're not at a point where it's like full forgiveness. It's like, I will say sorry for this one specific thing.
I was just going to say, Cameron's like, I apologize for that
to your children. And also, I guess to you, simply because if there was hurt, that was not, you know, it's small, but it is something. And yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
it goes.
They said they want a clean slate and to just move forward in the spirit of respect, which
sure,
we can all appreciate that. Sure. Yeah, sure, Jan.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin in orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Okay, let's talk about Below Deck Med. And we start off with Delaney and Katie. And Katie breaking the news to Delaney that she will not be continuing on after this charter. And you know, this is like the second time that Katie has had a chat with Delaney where she basically tells her what's happening. And Delaney is like, okay, well, let's see if I talk to the girls or if I talk to Captain Sandy. And it's like, no, like Katie is the boss in this situation.
But also that they're like, but feel like let's celebrate you tonight. Let's take you. And it's like, I don't want the night out to be about me. Like, what the hell?
If I was Delaney, I would have packed my bags and been off the boat 10 minutes later. I don't want to go out with them. Like, come on.
Exactly. But I do have to say, we'll get to this later because, like, obviously we're not, shouldn't say we, but we're not fans of Lexi. I did agree with her in this one instance because she said that Katie makes things almost so dramatic that she gets herself sick over it, which is true. Like she was looking like Lexi was like, she kind of threw under the bus when she was talking to Delaney. She's like, I wouldn't have minded. It was only 2 weeks. Like I wouldn't have minded switching bunks, which like, it's true. Like Katie kind of put too much thought into it and
yeah,
drove herself nuts.
But the way Lexi sort of befriends Delaney in this episode to me is like so calculated because she's like, it's like
100%.
It's like 12 hours ago, you didn't even know how to say this poor woman's name. And now you're like sidling up to her saying you don't mind if she stays on the boat. And like, oh yeah, isn't Katie a bitch? And all of this stuff. And it's like, Lexi, you haven't been nice to one person this whole charter season. And so like, all of a sudden she finds a friend and notice by the end of the episode, Delaney's like, damn, I became friends with the wrong person. Cause she like realizes.
Right. It kind of was weird to watch this because I feel like Delaney's firing went over like literally two full episodes. Like,
right.
And I also wonder maybe how different the season would have been, or maybe there would have been more drama. We'll never know if she did stay. Like, I honestly almost wish that happened to see like if it was as chaotic as Katie made it seem to be. But again, we will never know.
I know. Instead, we just see Lexi and Matt start fighting again at the day out. And, you know, they're getting into it. Matt says he's never disliked a person more than Lexi, which is like obviously not a nice thing. Lexi throws out the R word, which is just, you know, so yes, uncalled and then, for.
And then Matt goes back to her and says that she must not have good parents. And then she goes back to him and says his parents should have aborted him. And honestly, it was disgusting behavior on both ends.
Her saying, I'm pro-choice, they should have aborted you. My jaw was on the floor just because, like, imagine ever saying that to someone.
And then she gets up and in his face and she's like, if we weren't on camera, I would have smacked you. And like, it was a really bad argument. And I have to take back what I say about the argument with Candace and Ashley, because of this argument was one of the most juvenile back and forth, ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's just arguments. Dumb because at this point it's like, we know they don't like each other. Nothing actually happened on this episode. Like there wasn't some new conflict. It literally was just like, they're sitting drunk at this table and Matt is like poking the bear basically. And it's like, you guys, oh my God.
And also it's like a guy and a girl. Like if you guys don't like each other, just like, it's not even like your exes. Like you're just two random people working together. Right, just ignore each other.
When Lexi's like talking about how Matt's disgusting and she would never sleep with him, it's like, great. Then
no
don't.
One suggested that. You know who was too drunk though?
Z.
Yeah.
I felt so... he ordered those flowers for Courtney. And honestly, like the second he was texting the provisioner about the flowers, I was like, it's a big, giving someone a dozen roses is like a pretty out there gesture, you know, like it's pretty explicit. And it's just like, I feel like they've kind of like had a little bit of a thing throughout the season, but it's really just making out when they're drunk.
Agree.
And it's like, you haven't even gone off on like a little date, or I don't think they've slept with each other.
No.
And so it's like the flowers, it's like a little bit like, no.
It's
the
like
flowers.
Every three nights they get drunk and make out. I wouldn't even call that a thing. But the thing is, he said, what was his alter ego?
I can't remember.
What was his? Maverick. He said the flowers were from Maverick. So like he was even making a joke. Like it was from it. But I was like, oh.
Like in the moment, he already knew it wasn't going over well. And it's like, this is rough.
I mean, they're not in the position where they would even, once this is over, they're not going to be like, so what are we going to do? They're not dating.
We have we have seen real couples form on Below Deck. Whether or not they end well, that's a different story. But like, we have seen people like legitimately be like dating, and that's not them.
No, but I'm glad that they are able to like laugh and joke around, because they're two like very likable people on the show also. I thoroughly enjoy
them. I do like them a lot. I would not be mad if like next season, if like Katie stays and like Courtney comes back as second Stu or something, like I could see that happening.
I am just excited already for next season of Below Deck, which is I think the, the Australia.
Well, so regular Below Deck is coming back next month with Captain Lee.
Oh, I am just.
And then
I can't fucking
that. Wait, that's in like St. Kitts or something. And then the Australia one is like a new spinoff.
Yes, a new show. But like this is the show that just keeps on giving.
I was thinking about that this morning when I was watching this episode of Below Deck Med. I'm like, I feel like at this point, Below Deck is like so. There are some really great episodes, but it's just like it's on every Monday all year round.
It's fun.
And so there's never like not. It's just like every Monday night I open my mouth and just take a nice little bite of Below Deck, and I don't have to think about it that hard. And it always tastes good. It always tastes the same for the most part.
It keeps going with this analogy.
You know, it's like when you go to like. It's like getting like a cookie at Subway or something. It's like, you know what it's going to taste like. It doesn't usually like blow your mind, but it's like, it kind of hits the spot a little bit.
It fulfills what it needs to fulfill for that moment.
And thank you, Below Deck. Now I want a cookie.
Right. Exactly. See what I'm saying? All right. Well, this was so fun. We had a little Bravo. We had a little fashion.
This was so fun. Let's do it again on Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We will be back, like I said, on Thursday with another episode. In the meantime, if you want to check out our Bravo by Betches merch, go to betches.co/bravo merch. I just got my Bravo legal team hat in the mail, finally, and I can't wait to start rocking it.
People are going to go up to you on the street and be like, excuse me, do you have any details on the...
On Ms. Shaw.
Or Miss Girardi.
I hope so. You can go rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And, you know, just be cool.
Don't be all, like, uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.